imagine this is going to come as a surprise to some of you all, but obedience is not one of my strong suits. But my testimony today is based on Malachi. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. When Marvin and I first got married, I figured out he actually had been raised to tithe. I hadn't. Every Sunday, he'd give a tenth of whatever we had. I had been brought up, you went to church and you gave money now and then, but you didn't give a whole lot. And we were both students in college at that time, and I kept thinking, we're so poor, we need this money for other things. And I even had a part-time job then, and Marvin, when I'd cash my check, I would hide some of it. And thinking, I guess, that God didn't know. If Marvin didn't know where it was hidden, God didn't know either. I realized that one time I lost $7, and at that time it was quite a bit of money for us. And one of our friends was coming over for dinner, and he helped me look for the whole house. And I will tell you, all the way through that, I kept thinking God was saying, if you tithe, this wouldn't have been a problem. If you tithe, this wouldn't have been a problem. Well, I graduated from, got my bachelor's degree, and I got a fairly good job, so I could give more money to God. And Marvin, as long as Marvin wrote the tithing check, I was fine. But if I had to give the money, I'd make deals with God. You know, God, I'll give you a tenth of my net, not my gross. Or, you didn't really know, God, I was going to get this bonus, so I'll keep this and spend it on what I want. And this went on for quite a while. When we had children, Marvin insisted our children be brought up to tithe. They were taught to do it automatically, but his wife didn't do it automatically. And then one time, when Marvin was tapped to become a deacon, at the church we were attending at that time, they not only instructed the potential deacon candidates, they instructed their wives. And I remember the gentleman coming in and talking to the wives and telling us, you know, everything that you have belongs to God. You are asked to give back at least a tenth to God. And I don't know why, but that really convicted me. And that Sunday when Marvin was ordained, they asked all of us as deacon families to vow to give a tenth. I had to vow that too. And so I started giving a tenth, not particularly joyfully, but I would give a tenth because I had promised in front of God and man that I would give that tenth. And a little time went by, and all of a sudden one day it occurred to me, hey, we're giving a tenth, but all of our needs are getting met. Not our wants, but our needs are getting met. You know, we've always had money for these, what we really needed. And then a little more time went by, and I heard preachers saying, all that you have belongs to God. And I got to thinking, a tenth of it needs to go into the storehouse. But what could I do with the other money? And so God started giving me opportunities to give more of my money to various things. At first, I would do like I would buy vacation Bible school supplies, and I wouldn't tell anyone I'd paid for them. Or somebody, I would be standing in line at the grocery store, and somebody would be a little bit short, and I'd just slip them the money. Nobody needed to know that I was doing that. And then God gave me other opportunities. Somebody would need to go to the doctor, and I could give them money, or they needed gas money. And guess what? Our needs were still being met. I was just amazed. And so I've been praying that God gives me opportunity to minister with what extra money we have. And I wanted to tell you, a couple weeks ago when I went, I was on the train to go see my mother. And as usual, when I'm on the train, our train was running incredibly late. And we were supposed to be in where I got off the train at 9 in the morning, and that's in Longview, Texas. At 11 o'clock that morning, we hadn't even gone through Little Rock. So we had about 600 more miles to go. So we were sitting there waiting for a bridge to thaw out so that they could get it up or down, whatever. We sat there for a long, long time. Well, we're stuck on this train. And my seatmate and I had visited back and forth. And as the day goes on, we all start visiting in the cart. And there was a young man across the aisle from me. And he looked really young, but he was huge. I mean, he's really a tall kid. And we finally got talking, and I noticed all day long he hadn't eaten anything. And I finally said, "Have you had anything to eat today?" And he said, "Well, just that little snack that they gave me. They give you a package of nuts or something when you're stuck on the train more than 4 hours beyond what you're supposed to be, and some water." And I said, "Well, would you like some warm yogurt?" And he took some of my yogurt, and we sat there a little longer, and the train wasn't moving, and the train wasn't moving. And God just laid on my mind, you need to give him some money. So I opened up my purse, and I gave him a $5 bill, and almost immediately God laid on my heart, you know, $5 does not buy much on this train. This food is expensive. So I started reaching in my purse, and I kept pulling out $1 bills. I said, "Here, take this. Take this." Well, come to find out, he is a 19-year-old football player from Texas. I forgave him for that part. But he was great, big, tall boy. And 19, I got to thinking, you know, he's just like my grandsons. You cannot fill up my grandsons now. They have hollow legs. And I'm thinking, you know, he's going to need more than $5 or $6. And he is the nicest young man. So I just kept, and I have no idea. I just kept finding $1 bills in my purse. I do not know where they came from. And they just kept giving to him. And he finally said, "Ma'am, I think that's enough." And so he went loping off to the dining car, and I visited with my seatmate some more. And a couple of minutes, about half an hour later, he came back with his great big smile, and you knew he'd been fed. He didn't bring any extra money, being a kid, and he had eaten everything he'd brought with us. Most of us bring snacks on the train, but he had planned on eating breakfast with his brother. By then, it was 7 o'clock at night, so that was the first meal he had had that day. But just seeing that smile on his face, the joy of giving, you know, God will let you, if you give him the opportunity, he will let you minister, even with your money. And I have to keep thinking that all of it belongs to God. It's not just a tithe. But I had to learn to obey first to give my tithe. Thank you.